If we listen to each other's heart, we'll find we're never too far apart. And maybe booze is the reason why, for the first time ever, we're seeing it eye to eye. Welcome to Boozy Bracketology, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris, and I am going to be your host as we journey through the best fictional band of all time, or, and it's up to interpretation, however our panelists want to interpret this, which band do you want to see in concert more? And we are joined by a cavalcade of panelists, and we're going to start in the order they're going to be making their picks in, starting right here in Tampa, Florida, the dulcet tones of Joel Trumbach. Joel, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
Doing all right. Today I'm drinking a nice glass of Screwball.
Ooh, that peanut butter whiskey is good.
It's addictive.
It is. It's a problem because you can drink it straight. Well, Joel, my friend, I am glad that you're here. We're going to kick this on out to Huntsville, Alabama. Mike, same to you. How you doing? What you drinking?
Chris, I am doing well. I am very excited for my beer tonight because last winter, I was unable for the first time in, over a decade to find myself the entire winter a single Sam Adams holiday mix pack. And this past weekend, I was in the store and I found one. And to top it all off, they brought back the old Fezziwig. I love this beer. And they did. Apparently, I don't think they've had it for about 2 years. So they brought it. It even says it's back on the box. That's great. Really? Just as good as I remembered it. Very refreshing.
Now my turn. Yeah, no, this is nothing exciting. This is a hard seltzer from Funky Buddha. This is their Key Lime Cherry Hard Seltzer. I've got three of these seltzers left in the next couple of episodes. I'm sure I'm going to pour through them, but I'm not a seltzer guy, but you know what? It's not terrible. It's the only one I've ever had that I genuinely enjoyed. So cheers.
That actually sounds really good.
It's refreshing. So like I mowed the lawn and then chugged one of these and I felt pretty good. let's go ahead. Let's move it on out to Raleigh, North Carolina. Jeff, my friend, how you doing? What you drinking?
Doing all right. I am currently working on a new keg I just got in that somehow managed to leak all over my kegerator, so that's great. But the beer's good anyway. It's a Lone Rider Sour Prospector. It's a, I believe it's the Raspberry Sour from Lone Rider Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's quite tasty. I've enjoyed the first few pints of it. They pour a little slow right now because my CO2 tank is running out and I'm trying to force carbonate my homebrew. So we'll see how long this lasts before I switch to something else.
Well, hopefully at least one recording. Next up, out to Fort Worth, Texas, the soon to be married Stephen Ford. Stephen, my friend, is the beverage tonight from this country or not?
It is a domestic brew. I've gone back to a simple home-style Cherry Coke Zero. I would give you some excellent Foley work here, but y'all took too much damn time talking about your beers, and I had to crack it open because I was thirsty. So,
well, no one faults him there. And finishing it off right here in Tampa, Florida, actually, probably for the first time without his wife, Jason. Jason, my friend, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I feel free. Like I can be myself tonight for some reason. I don't know why. Hi, how y'all doing? I'm doing well. I have a nice warm coffee drink. We've been busy over here. We're getting ready for this big move. And I need to stay awake because we are crashing hard quickly here.
It's okay. We appreciate you jumping on here and making some bad and bold choices.
Mostly bad.
In my head, just so you guys know, in my head, Jennifer's behind him working him like a puppet. That's just kind of how I imagine this is going. But we're starting off. Joel is doing the picks first. And we're going to start with the number one overall seed from this bracket. From the movie Almost Famous is the band Stillwater. And they're taking on the 16 seed from Hanna-Barbera's cartoon universe, the Banana Splits. Joel, kick us off.
All right. So the Banana Splits, I want to clarify, are we talking about the live action from 1968 to 1972 or the redo of it in 2008 on the Cartoon Network?
It would be the live action, the original.
Okay, so the character that's voiced by the same voice as Tigger just drives me nuts in there. I can't unhear it. It just irks me beyond belief. Plus, they're a little campy. Stillwater, on the other hand, their hit song Fever Dog that they do and Almost Famous, although it's kind of a carbon copy of U2's Bullet the Blue Sky, it has a lot of similarities to that. And the band as a whole is kind of a Zeppelin wannabe kind of copy. It still had a good groove and a lot more appeal, so I would definitely love to go see them in concert. I'm going to go with Stillwater for the first one.
And that is a vote for Stillwater. Next pick goes to Mike.
Look, I'm on record that Almost Famous is one of my top movies of all time. So Banana Splits, they definitely had a tough battle right from the get-go here, but I wanted to give them a fair shot, so I looked it up. And so I found this very trippy show from the late 60s, as Joel mentioned, that had people in like a dog and a monkey costume or some shit. I don't know. Like it looked like a precursor to H.R. Puff and stuff, except potentially even more terrifying. Apparently, I looked it up. It was apparently reimagined as a horror movie a few years ago. That actually kind of makes me a little more intrigued, but no. It doesn't matter. Stillwater is amazing, and I think I can already safely say, even though I'm only giving it a second vote, that we'll talk more about them later.
Stillwater's got two votes. Mr. Woodhead, you're up.
Mike says that because he knows that I own a Stillwater EP. So yes. How many people own an actual CD from a fake band? That is how much I love the movie Almost Famous. It's my favorite movie. And I honestly could listen to the music from it all day. Not necessarily because the band is great. You know, the entire point is that they're a mid-level band struggling with stardom. And God damn it, I can't remember the line right now. The harsh face of stardom or something like that. but I will still listen to it because I think I'm voting on two different planes here. One, how good the music is, and two, how much it actually means to the piece of art that it's in, whether it's TV or movie or what have you. And Stillwater checks both those boxes. It's solid music and is the center of a truly great movie. So yeah, moving on, man.
Stillwater is moving on, but I want to hear from everybody. That includes Steven.
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting thing to think about Stillwater because, yeah, they are designed to be a middle-of-the-road band from that era, and that's exactly what they sound like. So, like, when I think about great bands or, like, music I would want to just listen to, Stillwater's music, even if they were a real band, would never jot to the top of my list because they're successfully a mid-level band. But I would much rather take a mid-level band than the truly probably cancerous sounds of the Banana Splits, which can only hurt you to listen to. So I'm going to go with Stillwater.
Stillwater has a begrudging fourth vote. Jason, do we have a sweep?
Yeah, I don't want cancer, so I'm going to pick Stillwater just because of that. Is that okay? Is that fair? All right, then I'm going to say, yep, Stillwater. I don't want cancer.
Stillwater is going to sweep its way into the round of 32, and we are moving along to the battle of the early to mid-90s teen bands from television. You've got the band that everyone knows from the hit TV show Saved by the Bell, Zack Attack, taking on the similar show that is based all around the band of California Dreams. And we're starting this one with Mike.
So you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? The Zack Attack was only on Saved by the Bell for a couple of episodes, but it was so good that the producers decided they were going to make an entire show built around that same concept. And that was California Dreams, which started with the Zack Attack concept and then decided to take away all the good melodies and any characters that I gave a shit about. Now, it was a bad show, and the band sucked, too. I mean, I don't remember a single song from California Dreams. I still get Friends Forever stuck in my head sometimes. Yes, it's schmaltzy. Would I really want to watch this band live? No, but I wouldn't want to watch either of these bands live. But it was great for that time. You know, I mean, Jeff mentioned how integral the band is to the show. Saved by the Bell would have basically been the same show if Zack Attack had never even existed, whereas California Dreams wouldn't exist at all. But I don't care. To me, this is Zack Attack all the way.
Well, just let me lay here in the sun until my dreams are done. Mike has gone with Zack Attack. Jeff, you're up.
Yeah, Mike, I wanted to clarify that for a second, because being integral to something shitty isn't a positive vote in my mind. Being integral to something good is going to give you that bump up. I think the question here, is, as Mike alluded to, it's the same producers, the same showrunners. It's kind of the same show, except shittier. Would you rather listen to standard issue 80s cheese or 90s pop done really, really badly? And I think I'll choose the standard issue 80s cheese. So give my vote to Zack Attack as well.
Zack Attack's got a second vote. Leah, do not swerve your car into a telephone pole. Next up is Steven.
Yeah, this is pretty easy for me, because one of these knows that they're a joke and the other one tried to play it as straight as it could, and there's just not enough goodness there at California Dreams to make it any good. Plus, you know, that thing went on forever. There's like 2 hours worth of California Dreams songs. If I was going to see one of these bands at concert, I've seen the bottom of the barrel for California Dreams. I know the best that they can produce, and it's not that good. With Zack Attack, I only know like 2 songs, so like maybe there'd be a hidden gem I'd find. So I'd rather see Zack Attack in concert.
Zack Attack has its third vote. It's moving on to the round of 32. Let's hear from Jason.
Yeah, this is a fun one, right? It's like, do you want to eat shit or a shit sandwich? Right? I'll just take the shit and get it over with. So, no, I love Saved by the Bell. It's cheesy. It's campy. I remember listening to that when it aired, and the Zack Attack, even back then, I thought it was cringy. But to have a whole spinoff based off of that is cringy even more. So if I was going to see one and I had to pick it in concert, it would be Zack Attack.
Zack Attack's got his fourth vote. Joel, do we have a sweep?
So I've actually never even seen California Dreams before. I had to look that up for this bracket. And I got to say, after reviewing the two of those, I am not going to allow a sweep on this. I'm going to be the unpopular opinion here. There were a couple things that I had a problem with on Saved by the Bell. One was the stereotype of course, they're putting Lisa on bass. But the other thing that really kind of gets under my skin, my biggest pet peeve, especially in TV and movies, is when they are poorly faking the instrument playing. As a musician, that just really grinds my gears. In California Dreams, they're at least really playing the instruments. And so I got to give them the credit for that, and I'm going California Dreams.
Now, California Dreams picks up one vote at the end, but it's not enough. Zack Attack is moving on, and so are we. Next up is our 5-12 matchup, the 5 seed, the band Nasty Bits from the TV show Vinyl, taking on the 90s classic Mystic Spiral from the MTV cartoon Daria. We're starting this one with Jeff.
So I listened to both of these again as preparation for this bracket. I'd never seen Vinyl. It seemed like a show that I always kind of wanted to see and just never got around to seeing it, because there are just way too many options for TV these days. So I listened to the Nasty Bits a little bit. It seemed like reasonable-ish 70s, 80s-ish rock. Okay, cool. But you know what? I was a teenager during the 1990s. As a result, Daria spoke to me in a way that a lot of other TV shows never necessarily did. Mystic Spiral's kind of weird noise rock, we're not quite Sonic Youth, but we're trying to be vibe. I liked it. And I enjoyed the show better, I guess. I probably would have fonder memories of Daria than I would think of. I don't know. I hadn't seen Vinyls, so maybe it's the best show ever. Who the fuck knows? But I'm going to give my vote to Mystic Spiral, and just a reminder to everyone that however you vote, we'll still be freaking friends.
My lord. Mystic Spiral has its first vote. Steven, save me from this hell.
I'll do the best I can, because I don't know how anyone can vote for Mystic Spiral. Maybe it's because I wasn't a huge Daria fan. I never really watched it, but like, I went back and listened to as much as I could stand to get ready for this bracket, and it's not good. Those songs are not catchy. There's nothing like lyrically interesting about them. There's nothing that musically interesting about them, because they're all about the same. I would much rather go to a concert featuring the Nasty Bits, because it's just more musically interesting, and it doesn't grind on my ears like a whetstone pressed against hard metal. So the Nasty Bits for Vinyl.
The Nasty Bits have a first vote, and that is actually the first time we have a somewhat competitive game so far this bracket. Moving along, tied 1-1 is going to Jason.
Yeah, so I never actually watched the show Vinyl either, so I went back earlier today just to kind of listen to some of that music online, and it kind of rocked. I kind of liked it. I was enjoying it, and I would really like to see them live in concert if I could. I mean, I grew up with Daria as well. I joke around with my daughter. We call her Daria. She has the same spirit. But the music really wasn't supposed to be taken serious, right? It was kind of tongue-in-cheek, right? Making fun of that teenage angst stuff. But Nasty Bits was pretty cool. We'll talk about that maybe, hopefully, later.
Nasty Bits has its second vote. One away from talking about it later. The next pick goes to Joel.
I think, although I feel the angst in Ow My Face that they were going for in there, I kind of agree with Daria when she called Mystic Spiral a Doors cover band that plays brew pubs. However, on the other hand, you've got Nasty Bits, which was co-created by Mick Jagger himself. And so you've got kind of that realistic experience in there. And actually, except for the lead singer, who's the actor, the entire band is actually a real band from Brooklyn called the Beach Fossils. And they really exude that early 70s Iggy Pop, Lou Reed kind of punk vibe that's in there that I really like. So I'm going Nasty Bits.
The Nasty Bits have a 3-1 lead there. Moving on to the next round, let's hear from Mike.
I had never even heard of the show Vinyl, to be honest, which actually seems unfortunate, because when I read about it, and it sounded like it would be right up my alley, and the Nasty Bits as the band are also right up my alley. Like, from what I listened to, they really capture that gritty 70s garage punk type of vibe. You know, I don't remember music having quite as many fucks back then as the song Woman Like You did, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's still catchy as hell. Daria is a show I never really got into, but I was at least familiar with it, and I knew Mystic Spiral, and I was kind of like, yeah, but the whole thing with Mystic Spiral is they're intentionally bad. Like, they're not supposed to be a very good group, and that was the whole idea, so... Yeah, to me, it's definitely Nasty Bits.
Nasty Bits, 4-1. Moving on to the next round, and we are moving on. Steven, you're kicking us off. Are we going with the 4 seed from Get Him to the Greek and Forgetting Sarah Marshall? The band is Infant Sorrow. Or the 13 seed from the movie Yes Man, Munchausen by Proxy. And yes, I did clarify that is how she said it in the movie. Steven, kick us off.
Yeah, I don't like leading this one off, because this is the first kind of tough one for me here. I wasn't familiar with either of these before the bracket. I had to do a lot of research for this bracket. And when I did my first listen, I went away thinking Infant Sorrow was clearly the better band. They're just, you know, there's more going on there. It's a lot more fun. They're both kind of joke bands. All of their songs are kind of jokes, but there are just more jokes that Infant Sorrow has. But when I stopped listening to them, the songs that repeated in my head, probably because they're more repetitive and more earwormy, was Munchausen by Proxy. And so for that weird reason, I think that they're the band that I would be more interested in seeing. So I'm going to go with Munchausen by Proxy.
Munchausen by Proxy picks up its first vote. The next vote goes to Jason.
Yeah, this one was a tough one for me as well. But after going back, I kind of like the Infant Sorrow. I was digging it. It gave me like a Tenacious D vibe, right? You know, it's funny. It had catchy tunes to me. And I remembered how funny it was when I first saw it. It was kind of one of those movies that I had forgotten about until just recently. So thank you for bringing this back to me, and I'm going to vote for Infant Sorrow.
Well, as a reminder that when life slips you a Mickey, you stroke a furry wall. Infant Sorrow has tied this up 1-1. We're bringing it back to Joel.
Infant Sorrow, to me, is a more clever comedic execution, if you will. My problem with Munchausen by Proxy, Zooey Deschanel and the seahorse hats and the whole thing, calling out everybody in the audience by name, you know, there were some little kind of funny bits in there, but knowing that she's a musician in real life and then she proceeds to just speak the verses in between there and stuff, you know, I was a little disappointed in that. However, the production quality for the music video of African Child is top notch. And Furry Wall is just a straight Oasis copy. But I like it, so I'm going to go Infant Sorrow as well.
Infant Sorrow picks up its second vote, and the next pick goes to Mike, who is not at his computer right now. I don't know what the hell's going on, so we're going to give him a second here. Edit point, Chris.
Why edit? Well, I think we should just spend this entire time roasting Mike while he's away.
I can't believe it. Like, what? Who the hell does that?
Well, I'll tell you how Mike would vote. God damn it.
Sorry, I had a high priority toddler related interrupt.
You're good. Uh-huh. It's over to you, Mike. It is 2-1 Infant Sorrow. It's your choice.
So I actually struggled with this one. I really liked Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but I didn't love the Aldous Snow character as much as a lot of other people seem to. And I never saw Get Her to the Greek, so I didn't really have that much of a leg to stand on. But based on what I listened to, honestly, I thought the band sounded pretty good. There was one song called Inside of You that I was like, this is a song. This actually just sounds like a song that I would, you know, put on a playlist normally. But honestly, I think she says Munchausen in the movie by Proxy, they got more style. Yes Man is catchy as hell, and I love when they wear the bird costumes when they're performing. It gives them a certain it factor. Not to mention, it's Zooey Deschanel. So I am going to vote for Munchausen by Proxy, and I guess we'll let Jeff be the deciding vote on this one.
Well, we will be letting Jeff be the deciding vote, but before we do, brand new game for the round of 64. Everyone has their buzzer beaters. Does anyone want to go ahead and throw theirs out there to try and sway Jeff's opinion one way or another? The time is now. Jeff, I think you're on your own, my friend. Good luck.
Great, because this was the one pick of this entire bracket that I came into not knowing how I was going to vote. So let's talk this through. This is interesting because a lot of the fake bands have their actor lead singers just kind of lip syncing over someone else's vocals. And of course, both Zooey Deschanel and Russell Brand are talented vocalists in their own rights and sing their own shit. I like Munchausen by Proxy's kind of synthy 80s vibe. They actually kind of remind me of a local band from Raleigh. I used to listen to a few years ago called Violet Vector and Lovely Lovelies. So, you know, points to them for that, plus Zooey Deschanel at her Manic Pixie Dream Girl finest. I really do enjoy Russell Brand's take on the mocking of the Bono-style rock star, the massive Jesus complex, plus the over-the-top partying. I enjoyed that. I think Get Into the Greek was probably a slightly better portrayal of him in that. And, you know, Infant Sorrow does kind of rock, honestly. Good Lord, who do I give this vote to, though? So I'm thinking in terms of music, I like them both. In terms of how integral they are to their particular movie. Obviously, Get Into the Greek would not be anywhere near the same movie that it is if without Infant Sorrow. It's the entire thing revolves around all this snow being a rock star. Yeah, Zooey Deschanel could have been in any number of other professions in Yes Man, and the movie still would have worked. Plus, it's not quite as good of a movie. So I think for those reasons, I got to tip it just ever so slightly over to Infant Sorrow.
Infant Sorrow picks up a narrow 3-2 victory, but there is no rest for the weary. We are moving right along into a choice that I can't wait to hear our guests make, because I've seen them make picks on our best Disney World attractions. And we're starting this one off, I believe, with Jason. Your choice is from a Goofy movie, The Sixth Seed is Powerline, or from the television show Dope, The 11th Seed, REO. The choice is yours.
This one was an easy one for me. All right. Let me just start off by saying Pharrell Williams is fantastic. Love him. I do not like the Dope soundtrack at all. Zero. I hated it. I can't finish it. I actually stopped watching it and left. I could not deal with it. Now, the Goofy movie, it's a silly kids movie, Powerline, rocks. All right. Came out. My kids love it. I love it. We sing it. I have some kids that can sing way better than I can, even though I try my hardest. And we'll sing that song all day long. Powerline gets my vote.
Powerline picks up its first vote. Next vote goes to Joel.
So this was also kind of a no contest for me either. I mean, come on. When you have to take down all social media within a 5-mile radius to get people to your concert, REO is obviously not bringing in the peeps for that. Their sound is overproduced. And again, another kind of fake playing band. Not one of them really plays the instruments. So in the high top battle, I call this, because both of them had the nice square cut high tops, I'm going to go with Powerline. The classic Eye to Eye is a song that you walk away singing from the movie. Has a high production value. He sells out arenas. And I might say that you can currently go to your local Walmart and purchase a Powerline t-shirt. They still have merchandise out for that. That's how classic it is.
Well, as Joel reminds us all that Walmart gets free publicity, because of course they do. Powerline has another vote. The next pick goes to Mike.
Chris, you alluded to the Disney bracket, which was it started off this whole thing. And longtime listeners might remember that I voiced some strong opinions about Powerline and a Goofy movie. Specifically about how, for a movie that came out in 1995, I felt that the music of Powerline was a little out of step with what was going on in music at the time, because it was basically a blend of Bobby Brown and Michael Jackson and Prince. Those were all decidedly passé at the time. But you know what? I really shouldn't have held that against that. And I'm here to offer my mea culpa, because I've actually had, because of my daughter, had the opportunity to watch a Goofy movie a few more times since then, and I've been won over. Powerline, I don't know why. I guess I was just being a humbug or something like that. But the more I watch it, I'm like, yeah, this is actually really fun. I still think the Goofy movie is merely pretty good. I don't think it's top tier, as a lot of people seem to. I know Steven and I are never going to see eye to eye on that one. See what I did there? But I'm kind of with what Jason said. I think Pharrell's fantastic, but Ario just, it didn't do it for me musically. I wasn't a huge fan. So I'm going to go ahead and give Powerline their third vote and move them on.
Powerline gets his third vote. He is moving along, and we are moving along to hear from Jeff.
Are you people fucking nuts?
Yes.
Maybe it's because I've never seen a Goofy movie, and I don't know that I'm particularly interested in seeing a Goofy movie. But I went and I listened to the Powerline song, Eye to Eye, as everyone has been making comments about. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, Tevin Campbell's got a great voice, and yeah, early 90s R&B. Cool. Meanwhile, for one thing, Dope is an amazing movie, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I honestly kind of dig Oreo's sound, like the kind of punk hip-hop thing. It hits me for some reason. I would listen to it. I would listen to it willingly, even outside the context of a movie. So I really don't know where y'all are coming from on this thing. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Give a vote to Ario. Maybe I'm just here to be the contrarian, but whatever. Contrarian I shall be.
Ario gets his first vote. Steven, take us home.
Jeff, you contrarian slut. How dare you? How dare you? You know what? I don't have to go to Walmart to get a Powerline shirt. I can go to my closet and take out one of my two Powerline shirts. I don't have to question which one of these bands I would listen to regularly. I will play my usual geek playlist, and both Eye to Eye and The Reason Why It Would Be playing on, because Powerline is fucking awesome. Nothing filled me with more glee than when I'm watching the new DuckTales and Della Duck puts in a Powerline tape, and I practically came just listening to it. Powerline is an amazing band. It kicks ass. It transcends. Somebody who hated it just said, you know, the worst part about it is it reminds me of Michael Jackson and Prince. That's the worst you can say about it? Then it's a fucking amazing band. Powerline, it's criminally underranked here. It should go all the way. I am championing Powerline all the way, and you can fight me about that. I will post my address in the comments. Powerline.
I will legit fight you when it gets up against Stillwater, but I'll let this go.
I would not fight him while he's watching DuckTales, apparently, because that's just not a good idea. How did DuckTales and I Almost Came come up within 7 words of each other? My God. All right. Powerline is obviously moving on. And we are moving on. Joel, you're up. We have got the 3 seed from the comic book and movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Sex Ba-Bomb. Sorry, Ba-Bomb. Taking on the 14 seed from the cult classic film Heathers, the band Big Fun. Take us away.
I call this the round of teenage drama because both of these are expressions of the lives of teenagers and the mess that is they're going through. Big Fun, I didn't feel like they were a band in the clips and stuff like that. It was kind of tough to get behind that one, but I have to say Sex Ba-Bomb is epic. Just the way they portray themselves. They have like a heavy, are you going to be my girl jet kind of vibe behind them of just attitude and punk and distorted vocals. And it's just overall a great movie with a great soundtrack that features the bass. So I got to go for Sex Ba-Bomb.
Sex Bomb has picked up its first vote. Mike, we're over to you.
Big Fun really only had the one song, you know, Teenage Suicide, Don't Do It, which, yes, agreed. Don't do it. It gets better. Hashtag it gets better. You know what is actually Big Fun, though? Sex Bomb. They're right up my one of my many musical alleys. They have that like lo-fi, sludgy garage band sound. Like, you know, their songs are short and punchy and catchy, and I, you know, they're simple, but I dig it. And I'd much rather see them in concert, and I think they are much more integral to their movie. So, Sex Bomb.
Sex Bomb has taken a 2-0 lead. Next pick goes to Jeff.
Yeah, as much as I enjoyed Heathers as a movie, I think I actually like Scott Pilgrim versus the World a lot more. And Sex Bomb is clearly the more well-fleshed out band. They're the more interesting band. They're the band that's at the center of the movie. There's no reason to vote any other way in this particular matchup other than for Sex Bomb. So move them on.
Sex Bomb has got its third vote. They're definitely moving on, but let's see how good we are. Steven, take us away.
We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to sell out and make money and stuff. No, this is an easy one, because Sex Bomb is that movie. The music is so important to Scott Pilgrim, and clearly they knew that, and they spent a lot of time creating an awesome band that great songs, and there's like a legitimate catalog of songs there. I'd much, much rather go see Sex Bomb and listen to the songs than take a risk with the rest of the Heather soundtrack. I mean, I don't even think the one song we get from them is all that catchy. So Sex Bomb all the way.
Sex Bomb has got its fourth vote. Jason, do we have a sweep?
We do. What's that saying in the movie? It's like, we're here to talk about death and make you depressed and stuff. Yeah. It's genius. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is actually one of our favorites in the household here. So, I would be putting my neck on the line here if I voted for Big Fun. So yeah, Sex Bomb.
And that's another sweep for the evening. Heathers is moving away. We are moving on Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and we have got two picks left this episode. Next up, the seventh seed from the television show Lost is the band Driveshaft. Or the 10th seed from the Broadway musical Rent is Roger and his band, the Well Hungarians. Oh, penis jokes are everywhere. We're starting this one off with Mike.
It's actually, I'm a bad person to start this one off for a couple of reasons. Number one, I never got into Lost. I had never even heard of Driveshaft. I'm a little, again, never watched Lost, so I'm a little confused as to how they had a band in Purgatory or whatever the hell it was. I don't know. The song I listened to, though, was actually was You All Everybody, was the only one I could find. Actually a pretty good song, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. My wife Nikki loves Rent, and she especially loves Adam Pascal, who originated, well, he didn't originate the role, but he was in the original Broadway cast as Roger, the leader of the Well Hungarians. So I'm contractually obligated to vote for the Well Hungarians in this round. Not to mention, it's definitely the better name. Although, yeah, as Chris said, they're both pretty suggestive. But I'm voting for Roger and the Well Hungarians.
Roger's picked up his first vote. The next vote goes to Jeff.
This is a fun matchup because it's a band with one song against a band with no songs. Yeah, you get to hear Roger sing something, but it's not his Well Hungarians song. It's not the fictional band that he supposedly leads. It's just him. So this was, it made this a little bit difficult to make a decision on, because you're really basing it on, do I like that You All Everybody song? Because that's literally the only piece of music I have to go on to make a decision between these two bands. And sure, I could incorporate the rest of Rent into it, but I think it's a little unfair. Also, I'm not a huge Rent fan, so whatever. But I kind of dig you all, everybody. It's fun. It's and Charlie was a decent character on Lost, which I have to confess I did actually kind of get into. So I'm going to give my vote to Drive Shaft here because, sure, okay.
Well, you all, everybody, has got his first vote. Drive Shaft and Roger are tied 1-1. The next pick goes to Steven.
Oh my God, Rent. It is a play with a bunch of actually very good, catchy songs, scotch taped together in a way that doesn't make sense and constantly derails the forward momentum of the plot. And the big payoff of Rent. We've been told since literally the third line of the play that Roger is writing one great song before he dies, his magnum opus, the thing that's going to justify his existence, the reason that he is such an artiste that he shouldn't have to pay rent like us mere mortals. And when he sings Your Eyes, you instantly realize this is by far the shittiest song in this play. It is a major disappointment, and it makes Rent fall completely apart. I hate the one song I know Roger wrote. It is god-awful. If Mimi heard that song, she should run faster to the light to kill herself before he can complete it. I don't care what it was up against. I was never going to vote for Roger. I have so many issues with Rent. I'm trying to stay focused on the one band, the one shitty song that comes out of that band, and I'm going to vote for Drive Shaft because that does not deserve to see the light of day.
Drive Shaft has a begrudging second vote. Third vote goes to Jason, or next vote goes to Jason.
I'm so sorry, guys. There's someone behind me forcing me to do this one. Apparently, Rent is her favorite. So she says, I must vote for it because she loves it. I'm well hung, and she has my balls.
Wow. There goes your freedom.
That's strong rationale, though. I appreciate the both carrot and stick motif there that she used. Good job.
Right. I just want my balls back, guys. I'm voting Rent.
Before we bring this over to Joel, it is a 2-2 tie. Joel is going to be the deciding factor, but again, everyone's got their buzzer beaters remaining. Anybody want to lock their buzzer beater in and try and sway Joel one way or another?
Yeah, I'll use mine here.
Steven, take us away.
I need you to focus on me here, man. We've got two votes that went against Roger and his shit song, and two votes that went for it. And the two votes that went for it, neither one of them were, I like this song. Both of them were like, this song is shit, but my significant other likes the play the song is in. Not necessarily that song, the play the song is in. Nobody likes the band, and we're voting on the band. And Roger's Well Hungarians is a shit, shit band. How bad are the Well Hungarians? They don't even want to play music with Roger anymore, apparently, because we never meet them fuckers. The band's already broken up before they wrote a song, and the one song the solo act came out with is absolute fucking shit. Try to sing that song in your head without gouging your eyes out. In fact, before you even try it, remove all dull objects and sharp objects because you're going to use them to try to gouge your eye out. You cannot in good conscience tell me that the one song we get from Roger is anything but the complete and utter travesty. I would rather watch a dog eat its own vomit than hear it again, and you know you would too. Make the right decision. Vote.
I'm crying.
I'm dying. I am dying over here.
I can't. Okay.
Joel, you're all up.
Right. You know, so there is, this is kind of two things that I can't stand here. As rave reviews as I've heard from Rent, I have not seen it myself. But the thing that I can't stand about musicals is the overpronunciation of all the lyrics. It's, everything is just so animatronic, and the way that it's done is just too over the top. It's distracting to me. And then Drive Shaft, though I love their sound, the grammar in You All Everybody, just every time I hear that line, and that's the hook, that's the chorus that everybody sings, it just crawls up my skin. But I got to give it to Steven. He made a pretty good point about that. Not one of us have voluntarily voted for Rent, and there's a reason why. I too kind of have to go with that, except for that stupid, five billion second song that gets stuck in my head that I can't get out. I don't know any other songs, and it's because it was probably not that memorable from there. So I'm going to, in the battle of the phallic puns, go with Drive Shaft for the win.
Drive Shaft has picked up a narrow 3-2 victory, and we are moving on to our last pick of the evening.
Oh, thank God. It is going
to be your 2 seed from the television show of the same name, The Partridge Family, taking on the 15 seed from the movie Freaky Friday, the band is Pink Slip. Jeff, you are kicking us off.
Yikes. First off, I'd like to point out that I give that a pass because Charlie is Australian, and I don't believe they have grammar down there. So I think it's okay. I think it's okay, folks. We can, we're not talking about the small town lyric that I hate because dudes from Indiana and should know better. But the reason I'm talking about things other than this matchup right now is because I don't really like either of these. The Partridge Family was certainly a show that existed in the 60s and 70s with music that kind of just makes me want to claw at my face when I hear it, even though I usually like hippie-ish psychedelic music. Not a big fan of the Partridge Family. Pink Slip, the Jamie Lee Curtis, Lindsay Lohan, Freaky Friday was, I don't know how great a movie it was. The band was okay in that Avril Lavigne sort of way. So, you know what? I guess I'll give it to them because I dislike them a lot less than I dislike the Partridge Family. Sure. Why not? Let's vote for Pink Slip. Make this interesting.
Well, Pink Slip's got its first vote. The next vote goes to Steven.
This is a completely fitting matchup because both of these bands exist because a elderly white guy with liver spots looked to the charts to determine what the kids like these days and pick the band's genre and their sound from that very clearly. Avril Lavigne, you called it. It's very clearly this is, Skater Boy must have been very popular when this was dreamed up for Pink Slip. For the Partridge Family, it's going for the hippie acid thingy, but it plays it so safe. It's like you took what the Beatles were kind of doing at the beginning there and like wrapped it in a musical condom so nothing interesting or dangerous could get out. And because of that, their music's incredibly boring and uninteresting. And so if I had a gun to my head and I had to see one of these bands in concert, I'd rather go see Pink Slip. I don't know. At least there's hope if you go to a Pink Slip concert. If you go to a Partridge Family concert, it's just going to be a sad, long experience, and every song is going to sound exactly the same.
The 15 seed's got a 2-0 lead on the 2 seed. The next pick goes to Jason.
Yeah, Steven, you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. Partridge Family is a product of its time. It's dated, it shows. I get why it's rated number 2, I guess. But it doesn't do it for me, right? It's not part of my generation. I just wouldn't go back and listen to it. If they were in concert, I wouldn't even glance at the ad a second time, let alone go to it. But you had me at like Avril Lavigne. You're absolutely right. Like as soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, I get it now. I guess it was a fun song. It is what it is. But for this bracket here, I'm going to vote for Pink Slip.
The 2 seed has been eliminated. Pink Slip is going to move on to the round of 32, but I want to hear from everybody. So, Joel, give me your opinion.
I can't believe this. I think this is a travesty. Look, Pink Slip was a cute concept, you know, in the movie, and I'd even say it was kind of integral to the story because of the whole concert at the end kind of deal. But come on, the Partridge Family, they got on the Billboard charts, 5-6 times when you think about songs like I Think I Love You or Does Somebody Want to Be One and or I Woke Up in Love This Morning. I mean, you know, these were all kind of classic hits that David Cassidy was able to make a career out of even afterwards and still kind of tours around and does those songs. They were interesting songs. They weren't your standard 1-4-5 minor six chords that kind of the Pink Slip tune was. I forget the name of the tune that was in there and stuff. In the Battle of the Redheads, Lilo versus Danny Bottaducci, I'm going to have to go with the Partridge Family for a vain vote.
The Partridge Family has its first vote. Mike, give me the last pick of the episode.
You know, I'm glad this one didn't come down to me because I was fairly ambivalent about both of these. I honestly had to acquaint myself with the Partridge Family because even though I knew them as a pop culture reference, I had never watched the show, and my impression was they took the Brady Bunch concept and they said, you know what would make this more annoying? Let's have them be a singing family. More singing, even, I should say. Joel's right, though. I mean, they definitely had some success, and I was going to factor that in there, but in terms of which band I would want to see more, I think I would rather see Pink Slip. I mean, you guys mentioned Avril Lavigne, and I do think that that's fair, especially the one song that Lindsay Lohan sings that I watched, but there was the other song that the other chick sang, and that actually reminded me a little bit of the Breeders, which I thought was pretty cool. It had a little bit more of an edge to it. I think it was called Take Me Away or something. I thought that was a really cool song. All of the songs that I listened to by these two, it was definitely the best one in my opinion. So I'm glad it doesn't matter. I was leaning towards Pink Slip, so I'll give them a vote anyway, and we'll see how far they can go, because I definitely didn't expect the Partridge Family to be eliminated, but here we are.
I didn't either, but that means Pink Slip is moving on to the round of 32. Your round of 32 matchups coming out of this portion of the bracket is going to be Stillwater, the 1 seed, taking on the 8 seed of Zack Attack. Then you're going to have the 5 seed of Nasty Bits taking on the 4 seed of Infant Sorrow. The 6 seed of Powerline, the 3 seed of Sex Bob-omb, the 7 seed of Dryshaft, and the 15 seed of Pink Slip. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're enjoying the Boozy Bracketology podcast, a couple things you can do. One, patreon.com/PTEBB is your exclusive home for all of the bonus content, not just for Boozy Bracketology, but for our sister podcast, The Pub Trivia Experience. It's a great place to get our bonus content. It's also a great place to show us that you appreciate us, you know, helping out financially. This takes a lot of work to get put on every month. Any little bit you could do is going to help, and it's going to be very, very appreciated. But listen, if you can't afford to help out right now, I get it. We've legitimately all been there. Times are tough. Do me a favor. 5-star rating. Write us a review. Tell your friends. Tell your family if you think they'd enjoy the show. That would be awesome of you. You can find us on Facebook, The Lounge, fans of Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology, on Twitter at Boozy Brackets, Instagram is Boozy Bracketology. But for the Boozy Bracketology podcast, I have been Chris.
I've been Joel.
I've been Mike.
I have been Jeff.
I have been Steven.
I'm Jason.
We will see you next episode with the second part of the Round of 64. Have a good one.